planning for the weekend? Good morning. It is Trina Mari here. I'm back in studio. I've been calling her a regular, but it's actually only her second time on the show. Rose Henderson, you're very welcome back.
Hello, Trina. She says, sit in your usual seat.
The usual. So you were like, what? I've been here once. Listen, you're very welcome. Is it a year since the last time you were in?
Yeah, it is a year. Yeah, we're doing Take Off Your Cornflakes. We've dusted it off out of its show in a bag. And we've been rehearsing it for the last week and a half. And it's great. We're loving it. It's we got an Arts Council touring grant, which was
Great.
Oh my God, it means people are paid actually this time. And we're going all the way around the country and doing a lovely tour with it. So it's great. Yeah. And we've dusted it off and we've added a few little bits to the end of it. And it's, you know, it's very nice.
Yeah. So anybody who didn't hear Rose when she was in the last time, because she's a regular. So you were talking about this particular play the last time as well, Take Off Your Cornflakes. Explain to anyone who isn't familiar what it is about.
It was based on my dad who had Alzheimer's. Jack, having been through the whole Alzheimer's journey with my dad and my mom trying to support him, I really wanted to express what that was like, because it was a whole big change in our family when dad came down with this horrible disease. And it's just the trauma and the ripple effect on the whole family, on how everybody has to move in to keep him safe and to protect my mom and to support her so that she could mind him.
Yeah.
So to how to say that in a, because I'm a writer, and how to kind of present that in a way that's entertaining, that's funny, and that actually teaches people a little bit. So I kind of, we got the opportunity of a show in a bag, which you apply for through Fishamble, the Irish Theatre Institute and Fringe Fest. And we were thrilled to be given this. And I brought in Pat Nolan, who plays Barry in Fair City.
Barry O'Hanlon,
yes,
who's back in Fair City.
Well, he's just going off with all the money. So yeah, so and that money has not been spent on the tour. Anyway, so the two of us worked for the whole summer and wrote and researched and came up with a very short deadline. We had to come up with this play, which is probably a very good thing, a short deadline.
So is it serious or is it a bit of comedy in there?
Absolutely both. So they love their quizzes. It's a couple. They're mad about each other and they're normal. So they give out and fight, but the central thing is that they love each other. And he forgets, he loses his car in the car park. Now, that's a normal thing to do.
I do it every day.
I mean, I know my car is outside, but yeah. But he was looking for the wrong car. He was actually looking for his old car.
Yeah.
But that's not normal forgetting. There's something wrong here. So they make an appointment. They go to the doctor and the doctor gives them three things to remember. And he doesn't.
Okay. And that's how he gets diagnosed.
That's how the diagnosis lands. And it's, you just see how she reacts to this. Now, what we've done is we've mixed up all the scenes. So you see us older, you see us younger. It takes place over 15 years. And so that's the challenge for us. But it's also a bit of a challenge for the audience. You have to kind of do keep up, you know.
The comedy side of it then, Rose.
Yeah.
I mean, you were saying your dad used to do very funny things.
Well, I mean, he did, bless him. And the thing was, he had the quintessential dad jokes. So he loved his jokes. And for us, the blessing was he didn't forget his jokes. So he was still telling jokes when he was in the hospital. He actually got cancer in the end and died 4 years ago. But he was such a happy cancer patient because he didn't remember he had cancer, you know. So we really saw that as a look at this. This is great, you know. And he did things like he always put out the bins. That was his job, as you know, most dads. He puts out the bins, but he'd put out the bins and he'd go down to the end of the driveway and he'd leave the bin there and he'd look up and down the road. Oh, what's going on? And then he'd go, oh gosh, better bring that bin in. And he'd bring it in and then he'd get to the top of the drive and he'd go, gosh, I wonder, did I empty that? Full. Better bring it down. And honest to God,
up and down the drive with the bin.
And my mum would watch him from the front window and say, do you know what? I think I'll leave him at it because he's getting his bit of exercise. He's out in the fresh air. He's actually talking to people that pass by. He's fine.
Did you have patience, Rose? Did you sometimes lose
the
patience?
Brilliant. I was a saint because I was there maybe an hour every day. My mum, and I'd catch her on that 100th time she was answering the same question and she'd be roaring at him. So you have to be human, you know, you do your best.
Okay, yeah.
That's all I can say. And we do have there's a scene in there where he says, is it Monday? And you're going, yeah, it's Monday. He says, is it not Sunday? I thought we were going to Mass. No, it's not Sunday. We're not going to Mass. And then he asks so many times, she says, it's Tuesday. And it's not, you know, and he goes, so we won't be going to Mass? And he goes, why would we be going to Mass on a Tuesday? No, we wouldn't.
The title is peculiar. Take off your cornflakes.
Yeah,
have a sup of tea there, by the way, as well.
Oh, no, thank you.
She's going to have a slurp now.
I'm hugging it now. No, take off your cornflakes. He doesn't get the word and you have to guess what that was. Do you know? And so we learned not to ask a question where the answer wasn't in the room. So if he's trying to say, like, I mean, we used to find things in saucepans, you know, that should never have been. So there's little gaps start appearing. So if he's looking for the right word, if he's trying to tell you to take off your glasses, or if he's trying to take off your hat, he can't just come up with the right word. And so rather than saying, ah, oh, dad, you know, cornflakes, you just go, sure, and you take off.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So the journey is trying to learn how to say yes to this disease. So if he wants to do something mental, he wants to do a handstand, absolutely, we need to warm up first, dad. Let's roll the shoulders. Let's sit down for a minute because I'm exhausted. You know, or, you know, and you can distract. So it's learning how to do that without treating him like a child, because he can hear that in your voice. To learn how to actually learn how to distract. So even if he wants to actually strip naked and walk out the door, you say, grand, can we walk out this door? And you walk into the bathroom instead. Do you know? So
yeah.
Even that going through a doorway, you know yourself if you've gone up to the top of the stairs and you've forgotten what it was you went up for. If you go back down again, you'll sure as hell remember when you're at the bottom. You know.
What was, I remember talking to Rory Cowan about this and the fact that his mum as well had the same illness, and the signs where he saw it at the beginning, you know, where he thought, hang on, that's not quite right. What were the first signs that you noticed in your dad, would you say, Rose?
My dad was an engineer, and he could, if he didn't have the right tool, he could improvise another one to make sure it did whatever that job he was trying to do. So he was very inventive, but he was using the wrong end of a screwdriver.
Oh.
To untwist a screw.
And couldn't work out why it wouldn't work.
Now, it was in the roof of my car, so it was upside down. And he did explain it to me, because I said, show us that screwdriver. Have you the right one? And he knows a Phillips screwdriver. He knows the right one.
Yeah.
He says, of course it's the right one. And I'm not an idiot. I turned it upside down and handed it back to him. So the handle was in his hand.
Yeah.
And he unscrewed the screw. But I said, why would I have to do that? That's weird. And so it's just when you spot something that's not normal forgetting. I'm at the age now where I have a lot of forgetting. It seems to be, and I'm keeping an eye on it, it is normal forgetting.
Okay. So that was the very first sign.
That was the first thing I saw. That now he'd forgotten a few things. He'd forgotten people's names. He'd forgotten the time. But we just thought, oh, pff,
you know. See, we all do that, don't we?
We all do.
I'm desperate.
Yeah.
You know, for forgetting
but
things.
Alzheimer's and dementia, this is a disease. Alzheimer's is a disease that causes dementia. It's actually a build-up. They're looking at loads of brilliant research of build-up of plaque in the brain, so in the cells, so that the brain, when it's making a jump, it actually can't get to the other side. So pathways are being blocked,
yeah,
effectively.
Yeah.
So a very intelligent person who relied on his memory was his friend, you know, it couldn't reach those little avenues anymore. And he kind of was very frustrated at us not telling him things. You know, if I'd known I was coming into studio today, I would have, you know, would have brought my own cup of tea, you know.
I get you. Okay, yeah, you know? Yeah. And did your mom notice things for a while before she kind of said it to you?
She did. And he was
the one. Because you're kind of in denial, aren't you?
Yeah. And she was in denial to the last minute. And I think that's what helped her to say, this is not the nightmare that it could be. No, I've just told you, Jack. You know, I've just told him. I've just told you. You know, but mm-hmm. He actually got his short-term memory got so short that he couldn't remember the beginning of the sentence.
But he probably remembered 20 years ago.
But he could remember. And they moved out just before my first child was born, out to the south side of Dublin. And he used to say to everybody in the hospital and everything, he used to say, I get the dart back over to Clontarf to see the rugby. Clontarf.
Okay.
Rugby. Yeah, I do that every Saturday. Now, he never did it once. So we always went along with that.
Just go along with it.
I know.
So I know that you're here to talk about the play, but it's such an interesting thing and so many people are affected by it as well. Is there any advice, looking back, that you would give to somebody who is in that situation with a family member where they are facing dementia or Alzheimer's?
Yeah, that's brilliant, Trina. I think I'd say get support. It took us ages. Like, I think it took us nearly a year, Mum and I, to go to an Alzheimer's support meeting. We looked it up. We asked, you know, where is there one in our area? And there was. And it took us a year, actually, to get there. And we kind of did things like, oh, it's on a Tuesday. Tuesdays isn't great. And or she'd say, I know I'm exhausted today. Or I'd say, well, you know, well, do we bring Dad or do we go on our own? And we just weren't sure, like, whether we should be telling Dad he had Alzheimer's. So we did actually, the two of us went together one day and from From then on, they went every week. And Dad just felt that it was a day for a cup of tea. They called it the club. They went to the club every Tuesday. And it was a lovely support for my mum. She was able to talk to other people who were there with their partners.
And was it that it was just a cup of tea and whatever,
it
chat?
Just, like, different groups are run brilliantly and different groups are not run so well. But even the cup of tea and a place to go was good at one point. But the ones that had a lecturer in or somebody talking about keeping well with them and things like supplements you could be taking or, you know, even things like making sure that he drinks water.
Yeah.
So that, like, because older people tend to stop drinking water because they don't want to be going to the loo all the time. But actually using water brings, you know, travels things around your body and making sure you're drinking, you're well hydrated.
Did you tell your dad? Did he know that he had it?
Yeah, and he forgot that he had it. He would know in the moment, or we'd say, look, why can I not remember that? And he'd say, well, it's because you're running out of brain cells, Dad. It's the memory cells are, you know, all... You know, old age is a bummer.
Mm.
You know, so he'd be able to, in that moment, it would reassure him a little bit. Yeah.
Well, listen, Rose, thanks so much for coming back in. You're going to be all over the place. Oh, before you go, we need to mention that you've got a book as well.
We have published the play. Yeah. We've published it. So we have it in a book and it's beautiful. And it's just because we were very conscious that if you cannot get there that night, like say we're in the Rammer in Virginia and you're just not free that night, you know, the play is available to buy and you can have a look at it.
Okay.
Talk to your friends. I mean, and please look up where we are.
You're in Dublin, you're in Kerry, you're in Clare, you're in Tipp, you're literally in you're Tallaght, Sligo, everywhere really,
yes,
aren't you?
Yes, we are, yeah. And what we do is we talk to people afterwards because we love to hear your story. So give us the 5 minutes to get changed and de-sweat. Because really, you need that more than we do.
And so where can we get tickets for that one, Rose?
Tickets from the theatre. All the information, we have a Facebook page, Take Off Your Cornflakes. And
okay.
We've also my own website, rosehenderson.com.
And can you buy the book there or where can you buy that?
You can buy the book off the website. You can, I think you can. And certainly tells you.
Let's hope you can.
Certainly tells you how. And yeah, and we'll have it with us at all the theatres.
Okay, listen, great to see you, Rose. Thanks so much for coming in. It is Something for the Weekend on Classic Hits.